call, everyone. It's exciting to be with you on Tuesday night for this celebration of life. We're having a session at 6 o'clock this evening, an hour earlier, for those who have participated in the purchase of the book. If anybody would like to participate in those calls, if someone buys 10 copies of the book, and they can do that at www.ogmandino.com/begin. That's www. Hi, sweetheart. Ramona just got back from a dinner. www.ogmandino.com/begin. If you buy 10 copies of the book, and the book comes with a CD of Og Mandino narrating the 10 scrolls, I've just put up on the website, on my Facebook this morning, the final design of the front cover, which is just fabulous. So excited. The book is going to print on Monday. It's in its galley proof right now, which is so exciting. It's just a great moment in Og Mandino's group history to finally get this book out to the public. And I'm offering for those who buy 10 books who will help me get these principles into the lives of people who are in trouble, because there's just so many who are. I've spent my day today with new people that we're coaching that, oh my goodness, my heart just, I was sharing with Rona earlier today, it was just, just almost too much to bear, just the challenges. That's why I've got to get this book out to people's lives. If you'll help me do that, you can come and participate in those coaching sessions for about 8 weeks. I'm going to cycle through the pages of the book, the chapters, talk about the principles, help people better understand them and utilize them. You obviously have that experience here on the Tuesday night call as well, but here's another opportunity to take it on and participate in that as well if you'd like. That coaching's free for those who buy 10 books and help get 9 of them out to the lives of the people who really need them. So it's good to be with you tonight. We are going to take on a topic that is just, this is a great turning point in our process. We have been talking about the importance of connecting with people and taking our challenges in our life. Many of you are going through tremendous challenges or have been through, and then holding them in our hands. Is anyone else suffering from a similar wound? Of course there are. Well, then let's hold it right here in our heart. Have it available so that as we're listening, we can hear things that other people might not hear because we've been there. Wow, I know how that feels. Ooh. We'll have questions come to our mind that other people just wouldn't ask. Who wouldn't hear it, and they won't ask it. And we have someone go, finally someone knows where I am. This is a great gift to give a person. If our desire is to connect with and serve other people, to create value everywhere we go and with everyone we meet, when we do that simple act of listening, asking that question, and having someone feel understood, what a gift. And if you're in the business of having a product or a service, or you're in the business of rolling people into your vision, at that moment in time, you'll know. You'll know if what you have could serve them. And if so, the chances of them listening have improved exponentially. Because you cared enough to create a safe place. This isn't manipulation. This isn't an agenda. It's agendaless. That's why we're able to get to this space. And we may discover at that point that we have served them simply by showing up. And thank you for sharing. And I wish you the very best. Or we may have some thoughts or ideas or products or services that could serve them. And we'll know why. And we'll know how. And in that context, we can share. That's the first piece. Then we start to discover that, and this is part of tonight's piece, we have thought processes that are very vivid. We visualize. The question is, and visualize, some people say, I don't visualize, I don't see pictures. And I say, well, have you ever missed an exit? Yeah, where were you? I don't know, I was thinking about something. It was so vivid, you weren't present in the now to see the exit. That's vivid visualization. It's being somewhere else in our mind. And we do this with such vividness and almost always destructively. We go to a time when and start living beyond. Maybe in the last day or two you've been here. You know this. It's so easy to skip to there and start living beyond. And we skip the very place where we are to stretch and grow and become all that we can become. When it doesn't work and life shows up differently, when we engage in this fantasy, we go into catastrophe. And our life spins out of control. There's enough going on that's real without us having to create more of it with our mind. Not going there today. Remember a tomahawk. I'm going to stay in creation. I'm so committed to this. I wrote a section for the book. I shared a piece of it. When you get the book, you want to go to physical creation, to the second chapter called Living Passion Driven. I describe this as clearly as I've ever written anything in my life. This is something we're going to want to know, do is how to stay present in creation. Because the truth is, you may have a wolf biting at your heels. It may be there. The last thing you do when a wolf is chasing you is turn around and look at it. It'll eat you alive. You want to keep running toward creation. Inspired idea, take action. Inspired idea, take action. Inspired idea, take action is the only way you'll outpace the wolf. And life could get back to normal, where it's not so painful. But that's not going to happen if you turn around and go into that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. I'm just looking at shifts in our light on the camera. That's interesting. Hope it's okay for those of you who are watching the video. Oh, there we go. Just getting a warning on a low bandwidth. Looks like we're back. We're having a little bandwidth challenge with our internet tonight. I hope I don't lose you. If I do, hang tight. I'll log back on and pick it up. It seems like our bandwidth seems to be okay right now. It's just struggling there for a moment. Could you check with Toby and make sure she's not using the internet during our call? That would probably be important so we're not draining any power off. Sometimes the coverage up in this area can be really challenging. Even though we're supposed to have very high-speed DSL, it's not always the case. So we're watching this closely tonight, and we'll make sure that we keep this online. The next thing we talk about is taking this idea we get that ignites our passion and working passion-driven. And last week we talked about power sessions. These moments of time, excuse me, got a piece of ice. Talk about these moments of time when we're totally present. And this week, I asked some of you to share some stories with me. It's so exciting to hear when that bandwidth is just dropping right off. It says the bandwidth is very low. Hopefully you're okay. I'll keep my eye on that for you tonight. But we work passion-driven, body and mind totally present in the now. Such an important piece. Now, I'm going to share this with you. In case something happens to this video, I want you to jump onto the call line. Let me have that if I can, sweetheart, so I can give it to them. If you're on the video and you lose bandwidth and you cannot see, go to 213-417. Just write this down. 213-417-2120. That's 213-417-2120. And the access code is 815517#. 815517#. And jump on the phone line so that you don't miss any of this call. Right now we're in a warning sign which just says it's very low and it's not coming back for some reason. I'm not sure what else might be happening that is keeping this. I'm going to shut this down. See if that will help us by closing off the internet that I have opened up. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to talk about what happens, what thought processes are showing up when we want to connect with people or we want to study our scrolls or we want to use our mind constructively or we want to do a power session. We get this voice that is resistant and resentful and rebellious and talks us out of the very things that can bless our lives. It says we just lost connection. see if we're back up again. It says we're off air. Okay, we're going to start the broadcast. Bear with me for a moment. Okay, so it says, okay, we're going to open it back up. So we start the broadcast. We're going to start recording again. You must be broadcasting to record, okay? To connect, verify the server is reachable at the address, okay? I think our internet may be down. Can you go check? See what's happening in there? See if Michael's doing something? We have an IT person here working on our... He's gone? Okay. Huh. We had this happen once before on a national broadcast. I'm just checking, for those of you who are on the phone, I'm just checking to see if we can restart the broadcast. And it's not letting us start it. Okay. Let's see if we can... medium bandwidth, okay, should be there, but it's not doing it. Wow. There we are, we're live. Very good, we're back. For those who are online with us, sorry for the loss. Our web bandwidth has just been dropping off tonight. Okay, back to where we were. Sorry for the interruption. We're talking tonight about these thought processes that keep talking us out of life. Now, these are fascinating thoughts. I had an experience with this afternoon. We had a fill valve in the toilet in our master bathroom break today, right in the middle of a very busy day. Now, I'm not the greatest plumber to call a plumber. There's going to be a day to come out, so I decided to take a crack at it. And there's a space where I had to get both my arms underneath this toilet to get this thing undone, and the valve in the wall would not shut off. Can you imagine? It's never been shut off since we moved in this house 4 years ago, so it's frozen. Which then we needed to find the shutoff valve. We've never thought about it, have we? So Ramona found the shutoff valve. We got the valve shut off. Then we got the thing taken off. She went down, bought a new one. I got put back on. It was leaking. I can tell you there were some thought processes showing up that weren't very healthy about this point, because I'm thinking, you know, I should have just called the plumber and waited till tomorrow, had them come out and fix this. I've got better things to do with my time, you know, that kind of a conversation. These thought processes do not have a funny bone. They're all about right and wrong and win and lose and life and death and black and white. Just write that down. They're called dualistic thoughts, the ones we're taking on tonight. They're called... The official name is systemic thought. Systemic. That's systems with an ick on the end. Systemic thought. They process dualistically, all, nothing, right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. They really get attached to what they think ought to be right or wrong. Some of you might have gotten into a right, wrong battle with someone when you've had one of these thought processes playing out. They will talk us out of our lives. And almost to a person on the phone, those of you who have been through the coaching program have these thought processes. If you want to see them in your assessment, look for analytical, methodical, goal-oriented, disciplined, teachable, consistent, self-directed. These thought processes, most of you have two or three or four of them, orange or red. They're so powerful. Because when they're at play, and we get kind of that lightning bolt of anxiety that hits us, chemicals, molecules are released into our body. And at a cellular level, we're having a feeling. We actually think this is who we are, these thought processes. They're so hard to step back from. I could feel that this afternoon. My solution was to go out and fire up the snowblower and clear off the driveway from all the snow. By the time I finished that, getting some fresh air and just getting away from them for a moment, I could feel the cortisol draining off of my body. And Ramona and I were able to laugh a little bit. They don't have a funny bone. You can't laugh when you're in the middle of one of these moments. I asked a client recently, or said, you know, that marriages are often blown apart because of systemic thoughts. This right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. And these thoughts will not distinguish the seriousness of the problem. we can blow a marriage apart based on the topping of a pizza. Should it be pepperoni or sausage? Huh. And she smiled. I could hear her on the phone. She giggled and said, actually, it was a bagel. That just about blew apart their marriage. The littlest things. They call it the straw that breaks the camel's back. All that is a systemic thought roaring, not concerned about the seriousness of the topic. It's just life or death. It is right or wrong. It's win or lose. Anybody had one of these recently? Wow, I just came fresh off of it. And we were laughing about this, and I said, what is the topic tonight? Because I'm starting to ponder it this afternoon in preparation. And Ramona said, it's discipline and structure. It's systemic thoughts. And we had one of those chuckle moments. Wow. Maybe there's a reason for this toilet breaking up tonight so we can talk about it differently, because this is where we live. This is the real life of it. These are the thought processes. We wake up in the morning. These thought processes go, I feel like crap. I'm tired. I want to go back to sleep. I don't want to get up and exercise. Then we hear ourselves say, I really need to exercise. I'm putting on a few pounds. I haven't done it for a couple of days. And this thought process say, just go back to sleep. You're tired. And we wonder which voice is ours. Well, the real us, the one stepping back from this, is the one that would want to exercise. I'm so proud of myself because this morning I said, stop it. And I went down and got on the treadmill and I got on the massage chair and caught up on the news. And oh my goodness, what a great way to start the day when we actually override these thought processes. But how often do we let them talk us out of those things early in the morning? Then it comes time to read the scroll. What do they say? Oh, I'm too busy. I got too much going on. If we step back from it, we go, well, if I don't feed my mind something really important, what's the likelihood I'm going to be conscious about things that matter most? I'm not very. But yet we'll talk ourselves out of the very exercise process that would keep us present. Now we start getting overwhelmed in the day. And we're not looking at our goals. Remember we did some goal setting here a couple weeks ago? What are we supposed to do today with our companion? It's our daily activity. Have we got our weekly activity plan, our quarterly, our monthly, or quarterly? What are we supposed to be doing today? In terms of creating our dream in our business, what are we going to do today? If our business is to enroll one person a week into like a network marketing business, what are we going to do today to find that one person? Step into their world. Find out, is this a person who could really be served by what I do? What's the chances we'll do that? If these thought processes are in charge, the answer is very slim. We're going to find ourselves in an easy chair sucking on a donut. That's just how it is. And I'm not exempt, and you're not exempt, and our success or failure could very likely be determined based on what we do when we hear one of these thoughts. Do we choose to override it, or we choose to surrender to it? Because Og said, I have surrendered my free will to these years of accumulated habits. And I might tell you, some of the most painful ones are these systemic thoughts. And the past deeds of my life, in other words, what I do when I'm there, past deeds of my life have already marked out a path which threatens to imprison my future. Wow. So what are we going to do about these thoughts? Well, I'm going to give you a couple exercises tonight. Because when systemic thoughts are very active, and for most of you they're extremely active, we're resisting structure. We're resisting people who might try to impose structure on us. We're constantly obsessively thinking about new and better ways to do things. You know, we're not shutting off our mind. What do? The greatest risk, the single greatest risk of a systemic thought is the need to be right. That's the greatest, greatest challenge. Because in the mind, it sees it a certain way. And it's not negotiable. It's all, or it is nothing. This is life, or it's death. It's it's not 99%, it's all or nothing. And that's why we can get into arguments over silly things with those we love the most. And so one of the first things we want to do is to, what's the word I'm looking for? To bring into our life, enroll, one of the people who's most adversely impacted when we do surrender our will to these thought processes. So if we're doing it, we're going to want to find the person who's most adversely impacted. Could that be a spouse, wife or husband? Could that be a committed companion? Could that be a child? Could that be a business partner? Who is that? You'll know. Who's mostly impacted when, adversely impacted when these thought processes are really taking, you feel so strongly about something and someone doesn't agree with you, and it just is so frustrating. It's like they're questioning your ability and your talent and even your worth, and whether we're passive-aggressive at that time, we get even later, or we actually stand up and fight, whatever it is, who's most adversely impacted by that moment? Let's find out who they are. Everybody got that? Write one down on your paper. Who would that be? Anybody have that person? Okay, now you've got that person. I want you to make a tent card. Now, a tent card, I'll show you one here for those of you on video. This is taking a piece of paper and folding it like this. That's it. It's like a little tent. See that? Everybody have that? You sit on a table or something, and on one side you'd write systemic thoughts. Now, I'd set that over there next to me, and I would ask this person to join me for a conversation. I've got systemic thoughts written on a tent card over here next to us. And it would start like this. I've been coaching, and I discovered that I have these thought processes, and they're really active. I mean, they're just loud. They're screaming at me all the time. They don't have any funny bone. And when I listen to them, what I do know is that I'm most likely going to need to be right. They're really attached to their ideas, these systemic thoughts. Now you come back and listen to that. You make it even simpler if you'd like. Coaching, have these thoughts that are really, I really get attached to them, and when I do, I need to be right. This is really the question. What's it been like for you when I let those thoughts, point the tent card, run my life? What's it been like for you when I do that and I need to be right? What's that like for you? Now, if you're watching this on the video, you just see me lean in. Just instinctually, just lean in. It's creating a safe place. I really want to know. Now, if they say, well, I don't know, they may be hesitant to share because they may have had some really bad experiences with these thought processes when you surrender your free will to them. This isn't who you are. These are just thought processes. But when you surrender your will to them, this is how you're showing up. You really like to know. It's so important for us to know. Not only because of the fact that we're enrolling them in the process. Og says something, this is really powerful. I just was thinking about this tonight. He says, just as the warm winds guide the wheat to maturity, this is scroll number 8, the same winds will carry my voice to those who will listen, and my words will announce my goals. Once spoken, I dare not recall them, lest I lose face. I will be as my own prophet. And though all may laugh at my utterances, they will hear my plans. They will know my dreams. And thus there will be no escape for me until my words become accomplished deeds. And in this conversation, the commitment we're making, the dream we have, the vision, is showing up in a different form of being without needing to be right. This is going to be hard. This is going to take a lot of work. But I'm going to announce it to them. Because in my announcing to this person I care about, I now have obligated myself to show up differently. So, what's it been like to be in a relationship with me when I let those thought processes run my life and I need to be right? What's that like for you? Now just listen. Please share. I really want to know what it's like to be in your shoes. Now someone might say, well, I don't have that experience of you. That's happened. Wouldn't that be nice? If so, then you're going to want to pick someone where that may not be the case. But if they say that, at least you've opened up a great conversation. And you can start talking about things that matter most. Most of the time, someone will say, well, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult. You know, they're walking on eggs. It's just thin ice for them. Because every time they've tried to confront us when we're in that space, bam, we've cut off their toes. They're kind of careful. Just keep listening. Well, tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. Is there anything else that would be important for me to know? I'm listening. That's all you say. Those are your options. Everybody got that? Tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. Is there anything else you could share that could help me or serve me? I'm just listening. And when they get done, the only thing we say is, thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to be working on that one. You just announced your goal. I'm going to be working on that one. And do you think they're going to be watching us? Oh, absolutely. Now, when they share, there is a very good chance they will have shared something that our systemic thoughts didn't like. Last Thursday night, when you said this, and it kind of hurt my feelings, and then and our systemic thoughts are saying, that's not what I said. Oh, at least that's not what I meant. Well, bite your tongue. You've created a safe place. You cannot share this in the moment. Just let it go. Thank you. I'm going to be working on that one. The work you'll do on that one will start right then. That very moment, that's when you're going to start working on it, because that systemic thought will start obsessively thinking about that thing that is wrong, that needs to be broken. The world is on tilt, and it cannot be changed until it finds a way to change that. It's got to fix that challenge. It'll come up with all kinds of, I use the word passive-aggressive ways to do that. Write down 24 to 48 hours, because that's the critical time frame. In the next day or two, that thought process is going to want you to find a convenient moment to correct this. The world's on tilt. It doesn't care about this person. These thought processes do not care about people. It's all about right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. Everybody got that? Systemic thoughts have nothing to do with people. Nothing to do with value of people. It is all about right and wrong and win and lose and life and death. We can care, which means we'll need to step back and take a look and go, wow, shut up. Those thought processes are going to want you to, if it's a spouse you've talked to, or committed companion, you know, the next evening in the bathroom, everybody's getting ready for bed, put your arms around their waist, kiss them on the neck. That was just a wonderful conversation last night. Thank you so much for sharing. Then we crossed the line. You know, the only thing I was concerned about, I felt so bad that you had to carry around for so many days. Can you hear this thought process being so manipulative? It's got to be right. This has got to be right. You know, you said I said this, and that's not really what I meant. What I meant was this. And we might as well say, and so there, now I'm right again. We start this work the instant this conversation is over. And some of the most painful, difficult work we may do may involve the very things that have just been shared. This may be the work. So let us begin the work of letting go. Wow. They just will crush anyone. And what we know is a people, person's idea, is inextricably, I've got my hands together, two fingers, sets of hands, two hands with my fingers intertwined, squeezing my palms together. For those of you on the telephone, they're inextricably connected, my idea and my self-worth. And yet we go around crushing people's self-worth all the time. these thought processes again. Do not care about people. We can. We can, but they don't. And if we choose to surrender our free will to them, the deeds of our life, crushing people, will threaten to imprison our future, destroy our relationships, business, personal, everything. Has everybody got this? This is such an important piece tonight, because this is where we start to take control of these thought processes, this one specific area, because if we can start doing it here, because this could be the toughest place, then we can start to look at other places, like when someone in a position of authority is trying to get us to do something, and they're using it as a lever, and we don't like who's saying it, and we don't like how they're saying it, so we just throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, how many times have we worked for someone, and I'm going to use a colloquialism, who's an idiot? And they want us to do it that way? It doesn't make any sense. Come on, let us do it this way. It'll save time and money. No, you'll do it this way because I'm the boss. What do we want to do? How many people on this phone have actually verbalized their frustration to that person? Anybody been fired? Can we see the importance of listening, because they're in a position of authority. They control our life. They control our paycheck. We may not like what they're saying, but can we see from a practical standpoint the importance of listening? Are we going to need to be right? Right, wrong, win, lose, life, death, screw you, I'll quit the job. And now we go home and we can't pay our rent. Now what do? We got to be right, but we didn't get to be rich. You'll also find that these thought processes, whether someone else tries to impose the structure on them or you try to impose the structure on them, the reaction will be the same. If I said, I want you to read the scrolls 3 times a day, you'll hear these thought processes resisting. You make the commitment, I'm going to read these scrolls 3 times a day, and you'll get the same resistance. Kind of fun, huh? It's not you. You want to read the scrolls. Well, are you? Are you? Then tell them to shut up and read the scrolls. The more often we do that, the more often we interrupt them, the more control we have. And a great interrupt is when we feel really strongly about an idea and we're about to crush a human being over the topping on a pizza. There are a few topics. There are some. Where the principle, the situation is really important because other lives are at stake. Other lives. It's always a clue. It's just us. Just our opinions. There's hardly anything worth crushing someone over. Now, we could take this one step further if we may. Now we've found out from the person who's been most adversely impacted what it's been like. We've announced our goal to take this on. I'm going to be working on this one. Now, a couple weeks later, we'll check in and see how we're doing. So how am I doing? Okay? Any situations where it seems to flare up more than others? Okay, good. I'll work on that. Now we want to go to the moment, where it's showing up. We're going to go a little deeper now. This is right in the moment. We're feeling really strongly about this right now. We want to have an awareness in those moments. So here's another process or practice. We're going to step back from the thought process. And can you imagine you're stepping back? What is it going to be saying? I'm going to step back and I'm going to find good in their idea. You can almost see this little guy there saying, no, don't do it. They'll think you agree with them and you won't get your way. You can almost hear it screaming before you even go through this exercise. Of course it's going to say that. Expect it. Step back and listen empathetically to the person's idea. Now you know that 95% plus, and with a 3% variance, statistical variance, what we know is it's virtually everyone. Their idea is tied to their self-worth. If you can find something good in their idea, you just found good in them. Down comes down the walls. Walls down. Now they're not getting their systemic buttons pushed where they need to be right, and it's life or death. We valued them. Walls come down. We can say, what would you think if we added this to that? Would that serve you? Yeah. And then somebody else says, yeah, we could add this. And pretty soon we're working on a solution instead of fighting right, wrong, win, lose, life, death. This is hard to do. But this is what it sounds like. We're listening. We're listening. We hear something good. And we say, you know what I liked best about your idea was? And we share that. You will feel so much resistance from these thought processes. But here's a promise. And I use the example in the book about an avocado tree. I remember getting under our avocado trees in California. You go to pick an avocado and you can't see any. They're just not, trees barren. And you look and you look, you focus, and all of a sudden, oh, there's one. And just as soon as you see the one you're going to pick, there's dozens of them. And so it is when our systemic thoughts don't want us to even acknowledge there could be something good. When we find something good, we may be surprised to discover there's a lot of other good things in that idea we just were blind to because of the systemic thought. So let's find the good. What I like best about your idea is you're not sacrificing anything. It's interesting to me that leaders often feel they've got to have all the answers and they need to be right about it, and they crush all their people. Great leaders find good in ideas, knowing they're going to find good in people. Walls come down, and they get to pull the very best out of their people. What a beautiful thing to do if we can do this. Now, this is a hard one for me. I just tell you right now, it's a hard one for me. It takes a lot of awareness, a lot of consciousness, a lot of agape love, heightened level of awareness, to really, in this moment, listen and go, you know what I like best about that idea is? I'll tell you, when I do it, it is so freeing. Oh. We let go of frustration and anger and all that need to be right stuff. So what I like best about your idea is, see if you can find that. Have some fun with that this week. I've seen some leaders do this in a leadership meeting where there's more than one person. They'll say, here's our agenda item. Sally, what should we do? Sally shares. George, what did you like best about Sally's comments? Jack, what did you like best about Sally's comments? And they write them all down. And they do a last. What I like best about your idea was this. Hey, George, what do you think we should do? Sally, what did you like best about George's idea? Jack, what did you like best about George's idea? And they go around the room like this, always taking the last turn, what I like best was. And by the time they get done, they've got really good ideas on a piece of paper. Sometimes better than their own. When it's their turn to share, you know, the only thing I thought of that I haven't seen on the paper was this piece. Well, what do you think of that, Sally? Oh, yeah, George, Jack, what do you think? And all of a sudden, we've got a really good idea that everybody feels a sense of ownership in. This is very powerful for a team to work at this kind of a level, and a manager is willing to take the time to pull it out of people. Some say, well, that's going to take too long to go through an agenda with that kind of an approach. It may be true, the meeting may be longer, but when people have ownership, you're no longer pushing a wet noodle or a rope. People are engaged. They're inspired. They're fired up. They have ownership. They're doing it. They're working passion-driven because it's part of their own vision. The job gets done faster and with less anxiety and frustration. So another application of that particular principle. Last thing tonight. This is best interrupted with laughter. These thoughts, these systemic thoughts, do not think it's funny. It's just not funny. But if we can find the humor in it, I tell the story in the book about Christina's wedding. We had just recovered the most difficult part of our paying back $1 million in debt. We're finally breathing, and we're at the dinner there for the wedding, and it's my turn to talk, and I stand up and talk about Christina, who's hilarious. She's just really funny. And I'm sharing some of the funny moments with Christina. I'm laughing, and they're laughing, and it's just a fun moment. And I step down. I'm walking toward our table right there in the front, and my oldest son, David, stood up, reached out his arms, and just held me, kissed me on the cheek, whispered in my ear, "Dad, it's so good to have your funny back." And I thought, oh my goodness, how many years had I been so dead serious, life, death, win, lose, putting back and paying back debt and getting our lives back together. How long had I lost my funny bone? This week, one of your homework assignments is to get your funny bone back. I want you reading scroll number 7. I will laugh at the world. What could happen that could cause us to cry or curse? We're going to learn those words. This too shall pass. Wealth will pass. Sadness will pass. Poverty will pass. They'll all pass. We'll eventually get past all of that. This too shall pass. I will laugh at the world. Life is too serious. We can't laugh at ourselves. Am I going to grow too long for my own cot? I will never be poor so long as I can laugh. So long as I can laugh. Go watch a funny movie this week. Get into a pillow fight with someone you love. Do something crazy, wild, stupid. Just have a good time having a good, cathartic laugh. The kind of laugh you can feel in your gut. The kind that sends tingles out your fingers. Because it's actually cleansing your body, sympathetic nervous system, of its cortisol. It's healing. Og talks about this in Scroll 7. Let's read you this one sentence. It's a very powerful comment. What laughter can do. He says this. He says, "I will smile and my digestion will improve. I will chuckle and my burdens will be lightened." How are they lightened? Because when we let the cortisol go and the fear dendrites bleed off of our amygdala, of our brain, that fight or flight center in our brain, all of a sudden we put things back in their proper perspective. We haven't blown them out of perspective. So they really are lightened. "I will laugh and my life will be lengthened, for this is the great secret of a long life. And now it is mine. I will laugh at the world." Let us bring laughter back into our lives. It can help us in these moments where we're so fixed on an idea we have to be right. So, those are our three exercises this week. Sit down with the person most adversely impacted. What's it been like to be in a relationship with me when I need to be right? When you're feeling that pressure to be right, step back. Know it's going to fight. The thought process aren't going to be happy. But look for the good. And find the magic when you say, "What I like best about your idea is." You want to use this with a team meeting, do it there. And lastly, get your funny back. Do something this week that will cause you just to laugh and tingle to your fingertips. It is so healthy to finally just have a good laugh. I walked out of the bathroom today and I just started laughing. Just started laughing because it was silly how I was thinking, feeling, even some of the things I was saying. It was ridiculous. Just having a good laugh. Put things back in their proper perspective. Now, scroll 7, 3 times a day. Now, I say 3 times a day, these thought processes go, "Ugh!" You can almost hear them jump up. Tell them to shut up. You want to laugh at the world. You want to get some lightness in your life. Take on the very thought processes that don't want you to be happy. Want you to be miserable and angry and bitter. It's the ones we're taking on this week. Have some fun with this. And next week when you come back, we're going to go into one that's so timely. A quality of an intentional creator so timely. It's called finding joy in the journey. We'll talk about partnership and gratitude and sorrow and joy and finding meaning and purpose in our lives. It's a very powerful conversation next week we'll have. But this week, let's just lighten up a little bit. Let's have that conversation with the person most adversely impacted. And let's take some occasions where we actually notice something good in another person's idea. Just watch what happens to their energy, to their face, to their posture, when we care enough to actually do that. We'll have some fun with this week. smile, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday night for our celebration of life. Good night, everyone.